Hi, my name is Joe Scott. I've been a pro-life sidewalk counselor outside of abortion mills for the past 27 years, and I've seen hundreds of moms change their mind, and scores of them have trusted in Christ. Every day I'm confronted by people with accusations and questions about God, so my understanding of the Bible needs to be accurate and defensible. One of the most valuable tools in my ministry is Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot. Although I was educated in theology, I didn't quite understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. After reading The Plot, questions that I had for years were answered, and that in turn made me a more effective witness on the street. I would strongly recommend The Plot to anyone who has a real desire to represent God's word responsibly and accurately to our lost and dying world. I'm hoping that you will order The Plot online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com, or by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Thank you. Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church in Russia. Vladimir Putin just signed a law allowing their military to shoot down hijacked planes that terrorists may be aiming toward buildings or population centers. So we'll talk about that. And is that okay to shoot down a plane if it has innocent victims on it? Of course it is, but we'll talk it through just in case there are one or two liberals in the audience who want to think through that. In South Dakota, the governor signed the anti-abortion law there that bans all abortion. Now, if a woman is going to die from her pregnancy, then this law allows her to be saved, and we'll talk through that. The goal should be to save the mother and the baby, and if we don't have the ability to do so, you save the mother and you try to save the baby. So we're thankful that South Dakota pro-lifers are pressing ahead with a good law, and that the governor there signed it. So we'll talk about that. And a report in the New York Times analyzes what happens when states pass those terrible parental consent laws. Now, there should be no abortion law supported by pro-lifers that says, if you do this and this, then you could kill the baby. If you tell your parents, then you could kill your baby. If you get your parents' permission, you can kill a Jewish person, or you could lynch a black person, or you could rape a woman. No one, but especially good people, should never support any law that says, and then you could murder the innocent, or then you could commit adultery, or then you could do something evil, because you don't do evil, that good might come of it. And so it turns out by this New York Times analysis of six states that introduced parental involvement laws in the last decade, and this is the first study to include data since 1999, they say that there's no evidence that these laws actually reduce the number of young girls having abortions, and the abortion rate generally, maybe it dips a little, it even increases with such laws. So we'll look at that. Our phone number, 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. An elderly woman has been arrested in Pennsylvania for bank robbery. This is outside of Pittsburgh in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania. Police have captured an elderly woman who they say tried to rob a bank with a gun. How's that? A 75-year-old woman, Marilyn Devine, try to use a gun to rob a bank. Is that too much? Now, I'm telling this story because I want us to draw a lesson from it for us. Now, she went into a National City Bank, was inside of a Shop and Save grocery store. She went into this bank and she wore a Steelers ski mask. She pulls out this gun and she robbed the bank of $5,000. And then grandma made off in a tan Ford Escort, and the police chased her in a pursuit that reached speeds of 45 miles per hour. Then they pulled her over, and of course, I mean, the story is bizarre, right? Because it's an old gal, but she's now being held at the West Mifflin Police Station, and she confessed after being caught. So here's what's going to happen. Now they're going to schedule pre-trial hearings, and she'll be assigned a lawyer, and the prosecutors will start to build a case file. And maybe in about 8 months or a year from now, they'll go to court and whatever. And an enormous waste of resources, waste of police time, waste of court docket space, a burden on the system, and just another joke. The nightly stand-up comedians with the late-night talk shows, they'll probably tell the story and joke about it. But the punchline really is how incompetent our court system is. Here's what should happen. She should be brought immediately before a judge. They catch her. She's confessed. There are witnesses at the bank, the police. They bring her immediately before the judge. She repeats her confession, if she will. They bring in the witnesses. They bring in the police. And the judge finds her guilty within an hour of the crime. That's it. She's guilty. And then he sentences her. And then crime is no more the joke that it is in America. It's a joke. Okay, now to Russia. Vladimir Putin, he's the president over there, and he signed a law today that allows the Russian military to shoot down hijacked planes. So if you have a terrorist takeover of a plane, then this bill, it's earlier, it was approved by both houses of Russia's parliament. This bill authorizes the shooting down of hijacked planes if it appears that terrorists may intend to attack some facility or some populated area. Now, three observations about that. Number one, of course, this is proper. This is proper. If terrorists take over a plane and they're going to use it to crash into a building or try to kill more people, it's a proper course of action to shoot down the plane. It's tragic, but it's proper. Number two, second observation, no government should need a law for this. That's a bad sign. If your government needs a law for this, then your governmental system is broken. Because if your government, if you have a governmental system where the laws will be multiplied until you have thousands of laws dealing with every conceivable circumstance, you have a fundamentally broken government. And that's what we have in America, right? Do we have thousands of laws? Thousands. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of laws, if not millions of laws, depending on how you count them. And who knows all those laws? No one knows all those laws. You know why you end up with so many laws? When you have too many lawyers. Too many lawyers with nothing to do, and they pass laws and they pervert the legal system until people are so confused they need to hire a lawyer just to know what can I do or not do. So it's tragic when a government needs a law to say if terrorists are trying to blow up the World Trade Center, you need a law to stop them. That's bizarre. And it's not just a idiosyncratic observation of the government. It shows that the government is fundamentally broken. Fundamentally broken. Because when you multiply laws, things don't get better. When you multiply laws, do things get better? No. The Bible starts out, God gave Adam and Eve one law, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they broke it. Not exactly a shock, but a tragedy. They broke the law. Then, in order to teach us, mankind, God gave 10 laws, the 10 commandments. What did Israel do with the 10 commandments? They broke them. How many did they break? All 10. Then, to further the point, to drive it home, God gave over 300 laws to Moses for Israel, the Mosaic Law. What did they do with those laws? They broke them. so that the more laws you have, the more guilty you become. Laws cannot bring about righteousness. Is God righteous because he keeps a set of laws? Is that how God is righteous? Or is God righteous because he is good and righteousness simply flows from him? Which of those two methods? Does God attempt to keep a set of rules, or is he simply good? He's good. He doesn't try to be righteous. He is righteous. And as a human being, how will we be righteous? Can a set of laws make us righteous? No, they cannot. Righteousness cannot come by the law. The Apostle Paul wrote that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. And if there is a mother and she is not killing her children because there's a law that says you cannot murder. Now, does that make her a better mother? Is she a good mother? No, she's not a good mother. She's a horrendous mother. She would kill her own children, except there's a law that doesn't let her. So she's not operating out of love. She's operating out under a law. And so God wants us to love him, not because some law says we have to, but because we actually have developed a relationship in which we love God and we love our neighbor. Okay, so I'm about done with this. Then we'll go to the phones, 800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So as soon as we finish this story, we'll go right to our callers. Let's see. So Russia legalized shooting down planes that are being used in a terrorist attack. And of course, that's good to do, number one. Number two, no, the government should not need a law for that. That's bad. And number three, what else? What other observation can we pull from this? Well, killing the innocent. If you intentionally kill the innocent and they are your target and you want the innocent dead, then you're a murderer. However, if there is collateral damage, if you are attempting to save life and you are trying to stop an unjust, violent, imminent threat, and in doing so, you kill the innocent, that's acceptable. That is morally acceptable. So the question is, what is the goal? What is the purpose? What are the consequences? Is the danger imminent? And if so, it's acceptable even to kill the innocent when you are involved in self-defense, you're fighting an aggressive army, you're fighting the Nazis, the Japanese in World War II. So we should understand, when is it right, when is it wrong to kill an innocent person? And you know what our media has been doing lately? The media makes this moral equivalency between Israel and the Palestinians. And they say, look, the Palestinians killed X number of Jews, a few hundred Jews, and the Jews have killed more Palestinians. As though that's relevant. It's not relevant. If the Palestinian terrorists are intentionally targeting women and children, school buses, even in some terrorist attacks around the world, schools, and a government is targeting the terrorist, then it doesn't matter how many terrorists you kill, the more the better. So that what if there was an army of Germans marching single file and the goal was to kill one young Jewish girl? And so the first one gets within range and you shoot him. Now you got one German dead, no Jewish children dead. And the second German comes up and you shoot him. Two Germans dead and the girl's alive. You're only trying to save one life and the whole army is coming down the road. And you kill them one by one by one by one. How many would you kill before you say, that's enough death, we're going to have to let them kill her? What, would you kill 10 of them? 100? 1,000? 1,000,000? The whole country should be slaughtered rather than anyone allow that one girl to be unjustly murdered. So if you kill 1,000,000 soldiers who are all trying to kill one innocent child, that's good, just, and right. All right, let's go to the phones, 800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 9278. Now from Texas, Grand Prairie, Texas, we have Valerie. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is Valerie of sort of political fame.
Yes.
Valerie Kilgore. How are you, Valerie?
Good. I wanted to just let, I know you have some Texas voters out there.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let them all know that there is a godly man running for governor of Texas, and the primary here is tomorrow.
The primary in Texas is tomorrow, and there's a godly man. Boy, that's unusual in politics.
Yeah, it's a godly man, and he believes the Bible should be the foundation for government.
Wow, that's right up our alley.
Yeah. And that man is my husband, Larry Kilgore.
Your husband, Larry
yes.
Kilgore.
And they can go to LarryKilgore.com and check out his website, check out the issues page.
All right.
And they'd probably find it pretty appealing if they listen to your show at all.
Now we know Larry and Valerie from years ago. You guys mm-hmm. used to live in Colorado.
Yes, we did.
How did you get – you moved to Texas a few years ago, Valerie. How did you get that deep southern drawl accent?
It's been there all along. It just kind of came back when I moved back, I guess.
you grew up in Texas.
Yes.
You did. And your beautiful children, tell our audience about your kids.
My kids are awesome. They're 9, 11, and 13. Mm-hmm. And we homeschool them, and they're just wonderful kids. They're all serving the Lord and – telling others about Christ. And
all right. Well, let me ask you just a couple questions
okay.
about your husband's candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
Does he believe that abortion should be illegal?
Yes.
He does.
That is the first plank. If you go to his website, the first thing is execution for crime of murder, including abortion.
Wow.
And he has Bible verses there beside it.
Wow. And how about if in the case of rape or incest?
That's still murder.
You mean even though the baby's father is a criminal, you
right.
shouldn't kill the baby?
No, don't kill the baby just because of the circumstances in which the baby was conceived.
Wow. So. That's pretty good. Hey, Valerie, we've been talking about this over the weekend here in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and liberals think they're so nice to legalize abortion for incest.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what happens. The father or the uncle brings the young relative he's raped into Planned Parenthood or some other abortion clinic. They ask no questions. They abort the evidence of the rape, the incest, and they send the victim back home with her rapist,
right.
very possibly so he can do it all over again.
Right. There's no consequence. There's no regard for human life or anything.
Right. So abortion for incest actually emboldens the sick-minded relative
Absolutely.
Who could rape a daughter or a niece, and then if she becomes pregnant, no problem, Planned Parenthood to the rescue.
Right.
And they will help him get away with the crime, and they'll give the girl right back to her rapist uncle.
Yep. There's also another part of his issues is execution for crime of rape. Execution for crime of adultery, execution for lots of different things that the Bible says is true. And most people think he's pretty crazy. I mean, he gets
yeah.
lots of people talking to him about different things. But our justice system is so far removed from anything biblical that it does seem crazy. It mm-hmm. does seem weird.
Well, yeah, and as a result, we have a murder epidemic where over 10,000 people are murdered every year in America.
Right.
About half of our marriages end in divorce. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death of young people. And of course it is, because they're growing up in families that are being ripped apart. Mm-hmm. And young girls are with a half a dozen different guys by the time they get out of college, starting in middle school. And they've got no self-respect. They despise one another. They've got so much material wealth, and they're a depressed generation.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It is.
It's interesting to talk to people because Christians are mostly the ones that have been against him because they believe that we're supposed to forgive and we're not supposed to.
What does that have to do with – now, they really – so what does that have to do with murder?
Yeah, I don't know. And
I'm confused.
They don't really believe that, because if somebody killed somebody, there should be a consequence for that. And I know they believe that.
Yeah, so if
but
somebody
they don't think the whole thing through.
Right, so if somebody murders one of their neighbors, what do they think? Do they think they are God and they could forgive that person of murder? I don't get it.
I know.
How is it even relevant?
I I know. I think they just think it seems nicer or something. I'm not sure. But I know they, deep down, they really don't believe it. They just haven't thought the whole thing all the way through.
It seems nicer than God.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Hey, Valerie, so last thing, I had to make an announcement. Maybe I could do it while you're on the line.
Okay.
Our trip to Greece, May 18th,
mm-hmm.
we just had two people cancel who were signed up.
Oh, wow.
So we were full, and we decided we could put a third person, actually, in my room.
Oh.
So we have room for three more people going to Greece.
That's awesome.
Isn't that fun? You know, every couple of years we take a Bible tour of a different country.
I know. We want to go so bad.
Well, maybe if not this time, maybe, you know, maybe we'll go to Israel in a couple of years. We want to go to eastern Turkey to the mountains of Ararat.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We want to go there. That'll be fun.
That'll be great.
These places that are the stage of the events in the Bible are fascinating to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Valerie. So that's the website.
LarryKilgore.com.
LarryKill.
No, just one L.
K-I-L-G-O-R-E. We used to accidentally say that when Al Gore was running for president, and we were always worried that the Secret Service was going to come after us. So we're just talking about our friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, Valerie, thank you so much. Larry Kilgore, K-I-L-G-O-R-E .com.
Yes.
God bless you, Valerie.
Thank you so much.
Tell Larry we said hi.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. 1-800-8-N-Yart. That's 1-800-836-9278. Please feel free to call in to talk about these topics, or if you've been listening to the show and we cover a topic in the last couple of weeks, it's been on your mind, or if you have a question about the typical issues we cover are things like morality, controversy in society, law, politics. We talk about those issues. We like to talk about science, especially origins, creation and evolution. What is the age of the earth, the age of the galaxy, the age of the universe? These are fun topics. So our phone number, 800-836-9278. Now in South Dakota, big news in South Dakota, because the governor there has signed this law that now in the state of South Dakota, this law prohibits abortion, even for rape and incest. And you just heard Valerie and I talk about how wrong it is to kill a baby because his father is a criminal. And not only is it wrong, and of course, abortion hurts the woman who's now involved in the killing of her own child, but not only that, it increases the hurt and the harm toward women by rapists, including those who commit incest. For example, the rapist is emboldened, and especially the man who commits incest, especially emboldened. Let's go to the phones in Aurora, Colorado. Dennis, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. God bless you. Dennis calling back again.
Yes, sir.
I was just listening to the program, and I heard the discussion. It sounds like the governor of Texas, the person who's running for governor of Texas, supports the death penalty for people who have sex outside of marriage. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, good. That's why I called in.
Okay, people, let me clarify.
Okay.
Because I know Larry Kilgore's views, people who have sex outside of marriage should generally get married.
Yes.
Not that it's a requirement, but in the Bible, God strongly urges them to get married.
Yes, sir.
And people who seduce another man's wife, if a man seduces another man's wife, God says those two should be executed.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't saying that as a blanket law, anybody that has sexual relations without being married should be put to death or is deserving to be put to death. I just want to make sure of that.
All right, Dennis.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, no, not anyone. If teenagers are fornicating, God in the Bible does not say they should be put to death. But if a man seduces another man's wife, that is a capital crime. Now, here's what the body of Christ has done. For 3,500 years, adultery was a crime. It's not just a sin, it's a crime. You know the difference, right? Not all sins are crimes. Some sins, like being lazy, is not a crime. If you break into someone else's home to sleep on their couch and eat their Fritos, then that's a crime. But if you covet their couch and their Fritos, that's not a crime. It's just a sin. You look at your neighbor's house and you say, I wish I had that house. And you're bitter, you're envious. That is a sin, but not a crime. If you try to steal your neighbor's property, then when you are acting out this, you're planning it, you're conspiring, you're an accomplice, you're trying to act out stealing, that's a crime. If you try to steal your neighbor's wife, that is a crime. Most Christians have been deceived, and they agree with Hillary, Hollywood, the homosexuals, and the humanists that adultery should be legal. And most of our Christian ministries now either outright agree with that or are ashamed of God's morality, and they refuse to remind people that biblically and through Judeo-Christian history, adultery is a crime. It's not only sin, it's a crime. But when you legalize sex outside of marriage, see, sex outside of marriage, teens committing fornication, they're not to be put to death, but they're urged to get married. But if a man has relations with an animal, bestiality, what happens? Men who have relations with animals, with dogs, with sheep, with monkeys, God in the Bible says they should be put to death. What do we do? Our modern society, we mock that. We say that that's backwards. And so men have committed such crimes called bestiality, and we end up with syphilis, gonorrhea, and HIV. And millions around the world die. What do they die of? They die of AIDS, and they die of gonorrhea. They die of syphilis. It's absolutely devastating what happens. So we're going to go to a break. So call us at 800-836-9278 to give your comment on these or other topics, and we'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. What have we discussed so far? The South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds signed a key anti-abortion law. And in Russia, Vladimir Putin, their president, signed a law saying you could shoot down even a passenger airplane that has been commandeered by terrorists and is feared will be used to crash into a building or a populated area. And near Pittsburgh, a 75-year-old woman was arrested and confessed to robbing a bank at gunpoint, wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers ski mask. So if you have thoughts on any of these news stories or the lessons we've learned from them, please give us a call. And now we're going to talk about the abortion rate in states where they passed these terrible laws, parental consent and parental notification laws. Our phone number, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, why are those laws bad? The New York Times just did a study, an analysis, and the New York Times is run by basically atheistic outlook reporters who believe we've evolved from animals. And they have had a huge credibility problem over the last few years. And so you don't trust the New York Times. So when you read any report, you don't trust it. You analyze it and you run it by your own understanding of God, God's word, reality, and you see if it seems plausible or not. So the New York Times writes, they report that these laws have very minimal effect on the number of abortions. In fact, some states will pass a law for parental consent or parental notification, and the abortion rate will go up slightly. Other states might pass such a law, and it might go down slightly. I'll give you some of the details of this report in just a moment. But the fundamental morality of the issue is any law that ends, then you can kill the child, that's a bad law. That's a bad law. You don't do evil that good might come of it. And when you have something that's bad, then typically also there are other unintended consequences of that bad thing, whatever it is. So I'll give you a scenario. Let's say California pro-lifers, they want to fight abortion, but they're really good at politics and figuring out how to get political victories, but they're not real good at morality, right and wrong. So they pass a law, a California parental notification law. If you notify at least one parent, you could have an abortion. So they don't know that it's bad to pass a law that says, and then you could kill the baby. It's like if you lived in Germany 60 years ago and you wanted to pass a law that said, if you get your parents' permission, then you could kill a Jew. I mean, it's evil. It's inherently evil. Rape is wrong unless you get your uncle's consent. I mean, those laws are inherently immoral. And good people should know better. But anyway, the pro-lifers in California, they're more political than they are Christian. And so they pass a parental notification law, let's say. And the abortion rate doesn't go down all that much. So then they pass a 24-hour waiting period law. So then the abortion rate, it varies slightly, but across the whole country it varied slightly. And it's hard to say what those laws did in California. But then that's step one, step two. Step three, Roe v. Wade is overturned. Let's say that happens. Now, Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land. But in California, what happens? Abortion remains legal. Why? Because the pro-lifers passed two laws, one that said you can have an abortion if you wait 24 hours, and the other said even if you're a minor, you could have an abortion if you notify at least one parent or a guardian, or you get a judicial bypass. And so now the pro-lifers are so excited Roe v. Wade is overturned and they want to stop abortion in California, and their own laws are keeping abortion not only legal but at full force. And so then they start a campaign to try to overturn the laws that they fought to put on the books. And they should have asked themselves, are these good laws? For example, if abortion was illegal, would we try to pass a law that says you can have an abortion if you tell a parent or you wait 24 hours? No, we wouldn't do that. See, laws are good or bad. Laws are good or bad because they are moral statements. And so these are bad laws. So now they're trying to repeal their own bad laws, but they got to convince the public. And you think the legislature in California or New York, they're going to overturn these laws that the people may have voted on? So now they're trying to convince the public that it's a bad law to tell a parent and have a parent in on the decision of whether or not to kill the little baby. And all the liberals, they'll start supporting all these laws. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the NOW, National Organization of Witches, whatever. What is it called? The COW, the California Organization of Witches. I mean the California Abortion Rights Action League. That's it. The COW, the cows in the corral. I mean the California Organization of Women and the National Organization of Women. In the National Abortion Rights Action League, now in NARAL, and the Cows and the Corrals, and all those groups, they're going to all fight to keep these laws on the books because these are the laws that will grease the skids for the abortion industry. And so then the pro-lifers will be trying to overturn their own laws, realizing that their own laws slaughter children by the tens of thousands. So now let's look at the laws themselves. And this is so secondary, it's almost not even worth mentioning. In other words, well, what is the actual effect? Right? For example, some churches, let's say a charity. And this charity is run, an inner city charity, and they get kids to sell drugs to fund their charity. Right? Now, that's a bad thing. And you say, yeah, but the charity does good work. Well, it doesn't matter. It's a bad thing. So then the people say, but look at the results. Look at what we're doing with our money. Look, we're helping some single mothers get into housing. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what's the result. The ends do not justify the means. So when we pass these parental consent laws and these parental notification laws and these and then you could kill the baby laws. When we pass these laws, then it might be of interest to look at the result, but that doesn't change fundamentally whether they are moral or immoral. And so these are immoral, bad pro-life laws that end in then you could kill the baby. And where do they lead? They lead to moral relativism, where you have our national Christian leaders approving and defending Samuel Alito, who voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. Not with a 24-hour waiting period, just partial birth abortion. So at any rate, the New York Times looked at six states, and they included data, including in recent years after 1999, which is the first study to do so, including recent data. And they only looked at six states because of all the states, they have all different kinds of ways of collecting data. And many of those methods are contradictory, inconsistent. And so in the past, studies have been not definitive. What happens? So they picked six states, like, for example, California, there's no reporting. In Colorado, the state government publishes a number of abortions they get from the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood. And the Guttmacher Institute says these numbers may be underreported by 30%. So it's, you know, a lot of it, it's like witchcraft. Who knows how many children are being killed? But so the New York Times took six states where the data was most reliable, where they had passed some kind of a parental involvement law, out of 34 states in total that have passed such laws. And so what they found, for example, in Tennessee, the abortion rate went down when a federal court suspended their parental consent requirement. So they have parental consent. You can't have an abortion unless your parent says, yes, honey, you can kill your child. So a federal judge struck that down. So it's no longer a law. And then the abortion rate went down. Now, how's that? It's supposed to go up, but it went down. In Texas, the rate fell after a notification law went into effect, but it didn't fall as fast as it had been falling in the years before the law. So that's unclear. What are the results? And you know what? The results don't matter because the law is immoral. You might say, well, how's our organization doing with this drug money that we've been getting? Well, it doesn't matter how the organization is doing. You don't run a house of ill repute to fund a church. You don't have a temple prostitute and say, oh, but look at the good we're doing. You don't do that. So if all the results were perfect, that doesn't mean that the ends justify the means. But when you're doing something bad, there's way more likelihood that you're not going to get the good that you thought you were going to get. So in Texas, the abortion rate was falling for a period of years. They passed a parental notification law, and the rate of decrease slowed. So let's say they don't have the specifics in this article, but let's say the abortion rate was dropping 5% a year. For 3 years, they passed the law, and it dropped 2%. Say, look, it increased abortions. We would have had 5%. You see how that could work? Our phone number, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Virginia, the abortion rate barely moved when the state introduced a notification law in 1998. But then in 2003, when they changed to a parental consent law, the rate did fall. So it's a bit difficult to figure out, you know, what is the actual effect of these laws? We know the moral effect, that it is immoral. And today, most of our pro-life organizations support verdicts keeping legal partial birth abortion because it's consistent with the process. So we no longer have a clear moral foundation in the body of Christ. And our moral compass is off, and it no longer points true north. It no longer points to right. It now points to process. Right is over there. Don't kill the innocent. Process is over there. Approve Samuel Alito, who voted for partial birth abortion. Approve of him because he was consistent with process. He violated do not murder, but we approve of that because we are Christian pro-lifers. All right, let's go to the phones, 800-836-9278. You're listening to Bob and Yurt Live in Goshen, Indiana. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. I've just been listening to your discussion about the abortion laws. I just came up with this math problem for you, Bob.
Yeah.
If you add up the politicians who have been elected in the last 20 years or so, both Democrat and Republican, add in the judges who have been selected, you add all those together, which of them have saved more babies? All those added together, or Joe Scott?
Wow. I would say the number that you just mentioned is somewhere around 2 million. There's probably around 2 million judges and politicians elected and in office and on the bench in the last 20 years. So Joe Scott, let me see if I count how many people she is. One. And Joe is one of the leaders in Denver. She goes to Denver Bible Church, our church, and she is at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine, downtown Denver, 5 days a week when they're killing babies, along with other Christians. She's one of the leaders of that effort. And she has tallied for last year 104 babies saved. 104 babies saved. She's been out for 20, how many years? 27 years. Joe Scott has been at abortion clinics saving children. And when we count a baby saved, that's a confirmed save. That's not a guess. That's when the mother talks to one of the pro-lifers. She was headed for an abortion, and we get to talk her out of it, and she typically sometimes thanks us, sometimes cries. Joe Scott and others get invited to birthday parties and showers. And some of these women become Christians. Of course, that's a major goal. And so I got to think this through, Daryl. It might be Joe Scott.
Well, I think so, too.
It might be. If, 104 babies saved last year, that was a good year, but it goes up and down. And let's say if it was an average of 50 babies, if it was an average of 50 babies a year for 27 years, that's 1,350 babies. And we're looking at these parental consent laws in 34 states fought over during the last 25 years, and there's not any real clear evidence. And if Roe v. Wade is overturned, these laws will keep abortion illegal. These laws will keep abortion legal in all of these states.
Sure it will.
And nothing Joe Scott has done will keep abortion legal, killing about 4,000 children every day.
That's right.
If Roe v. Wade is overturned. So good point, Darryl. Anything else?
Well, yeah, one of my frustrations with the Christian community is that we have been seduced into the belief that the pinnacle of our civic responsibility is to anonymously go into a voting booth and vote.
Hmm.
When
that's a good way you put it. That's the pinnacle responsibility we have.
When if you look at what the result of that has been, it has gone for very little.
Right. Very good, Darryl. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the National Right to Life Committee, they say that parental involvement laws are a key part of the battle against abortion. And see, most people call them NRLC, National Right to Life Committee. I call them the National Republican Life Committee, because the Republican Party gives National Right to Life millions of dollars. Now, why is that? Normally, special interest groups give money to political parties, right? The special interest groups give money to political parties. The political parties don't normally give money to Earth First or any special interest group, Save the Nats or whatever group. So why is the Republican Party giving money to National Right to Life? Why? Because they bought them off. Because they give 100% pro-life ratings to people who fund abortion, to people who nominate pro-abortion judges, to people who are proud of the pro-abortion judges they've nominated. And they do everything they can to hush up the pro-abortion record of the people they've given 100% pro-life rating to, which almost always is a Republican. So the Republican Party buys off the National Right to Life Committee, and they've sold out right and wrong, along with so many of our pro-life ministries, for political gain. So I'm going to continue with this New York Times analysis of these laws. Our phone number here, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. No evidence was found that the laws had a significant impact on the number of minors who got pregnant, or once pregnant, the number who had abortions. Now, I will say this, one baby saved is eternally significant. One baby saved is eternally significant. But if they're going to kill children, and they come to you and they say, hey, if you kill your granddaughter, these kids over here might be saved. Would you please kill your granddaughter? What are you going to do? You might increase the chance of maybe those kids being saved. You kill your granddaughter. No, you don't. It's wrong. It's immoral. You don't do that. So let's see. A separate analysis conducted considered whether the existence or absence of these parental involvement laws could be used to predict whether abortions went up or down, and it could not. It could not. That reminds me when I was a vice chair of the District Accountability Committee in Adams County in Colorado for the public school district there, and they decided to start giving condoms to kids in the high school. And so I wrote a resignation letter, which was published in a couple local newspapers. And 3 years later, the Rocky Mountain News republished my resignation letter as a column. And because in that letter, I predicted that the pregnancy rates would increase as they started giving out condoms. And they did increase dramatically to the point where they had 108 babies born in one school year at one high school, Adams City High. It was a state record. I think Gateway in Aurora took second place with 80 babies. that year. So that's the New York Times analysis, and abortion rates have been dropping nationwide since the mid-80s, but it's partly because it's no longer a stigma to be pregnant outside of wedlock. People shack up. Teenagers are pregnant. It's the stigma is gone. So pro-lifers say, look, we're winning. Well, no, people are shacking up, and they don't care any longer. And maybe young people are getting better at birth control. So when the abortion rate is decreasing generally, as is the teen pregnancy rate, and then you pass a law in some states and you say, look, that law did it. You don't know that the law did it. But even if it did, it's immoral. Right? Like, for example, they study some of these states and the laws only apply to girls under 18. And then they say, well, look, 18 and 19-year-olds who are pregnant, they're not affected by the law, and their abortion rate or their pregnancy rate is dropped by 5%. So you see how it's complex? And when you ignore right and wrong and you look to political considerations, things get complex and you do wrong. So it's just tragic. And then in some states, they pass a law, you need parental consent, and there's a small decline in teenage abortions. And some of those kids are going out of state to have the abortion just next door. Drive to Cheyenne, Wyoming. And in fact, two studies have found if there's a minor drop in an abortion rate in such a state, that could be offset by an increase in minors getting abortions out of state. So do right and risk the consequences. You do right and you risk the consequences. So we have the governor of South Dakota who just did right, Mike Rounds. He signed a law saying that abortion is illegal. Now, hopefully it'll be upheld by Samuel Alito and John Roberts. But abortion is illegal in South Dakota, even for rape and incest, because, of course, incest, it helps the rapist. It emboldens them when they know they could cover up with an abortion. Hey, we got a video called The Trouble with Lawyers, Bob versus the Publicans. It's such a good video. It's from the old TV show, Bob and Yurt Live. You get it on DVD or VHS. And so you could call us at 800-8-N-YART, 800-836-9278, and order it for $19.95, or go online to our website, kgov.com. That's where you can listen to the show, the archives, and check out our materials at KGov.